You are listening to EP Culture Beat, the underground source of El Paso, Texas.
I saw you through an open
cloudy. You kind of live in the area, so you had a short drive.
Short That's drive, cool. Yep.
Hell yeah. 30. Shout out 30.
79930. Manhattan Heights.
And we were talking earlier, and it seems like everybody goes to the Nature House. So shout out Nature House. It's also in the area.
Love you, Nature House.
What street are they on? It's Monroe?
Monroe, yep.
30.
I'd say 3321. Not to just give Matt's address out to everyone, but it's on.
But yeah, it's just
Instagram.
So weird that how certain places, certain spots become like you said earlier, community gathering spots or spots where like networking happens inevitably, you know? That's cool.
Yeah, that's where I really got integrated with the El Paso music scene.
Yeah.
Just met a lot of good people there.
Cool. And before we go on, we're speaking with a local singer-songwriter. She's soothing, mysterious, and has a mystical type sound. We're here with
Gina Massaro, Amphibian.
Amphibian. Why that name?
I came up with Amphibian in college biology class. We are learning about different types of species, and amphibians are an indicator species, an indicator of the health of the ecosystem.
Kind of like bees.
Like bees. Okay. So if the amphibians are doing good, it means that the earth
we're
doing
okay.
Good. Yeah. So I really was like kind of attached to that idea, sort of like philosophically speaking of, you know, the way that we interact with the planet and... thinking of myself as a songwriter, as an indicator of, you know, kind of the world.
Cool. What are you currently working on?
So I'm working on an album. I'm recording at home. And I like to do that so I can kind of just work at my own pace, you know. So kind of writing right now, I'm really close to being ready to kind of do the record for real. So I'm doing just demos right now.
Cool. How do you do demos?
So basically I just take the song I've written on guitar and I record like the guitar and vocals, and then I just start layering on top of that with keyboards and on this particular release, I'm trying out like some bass lines and I'm trying out a little percussion.
Cool.
So I'm getting a little more experimental with it.
So you're trying new things. In the final product, are you going to leave those new things in that you played, or are you going to have other people play those parts?
That's a good question. So I'm going to play what I can, what I know how to play. And then I've also kind of arranged a couple of little string parts, and I've got even a couple little trumpet lines, and I've got big ideas. So I'm going to have to, you know, have some other people come in and play.
Do you play all that though? Do you have experience in that or?
Not really.
You just hear it in your head.
I hear
man.
It in my head, man. Yeah.
Cool.
I play a little bit of flute, so I can kind of do the flute parts, but, And then it's just guitar, piano, and bass and percussion I can kind of pluck out.
That's awesome. So do you have like a team of people that you can like kind of count on for to add their music stuff?
You know, I'm kind of working on that, actually. Mm-hmm. In the past, I've kind of done everything myself. Mm-hmm. I had a cello player on my last EP, so I know a cello player. Mm-hmm. And recently, I've just been kind of trying to network a little bit and trying to find, you know, people who... There's a lot of people. I just don't really know them yet.
Do any of your demo recordings become the final product? Like, are you satisfied with a certain take and you'll be like, okay, I'm cool with that? Or is it when you get down to it, like, do you re-record everything?
Well, this is actually the first time I've done demos. In the past, I've used my demos as the final recordings eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's better this way because I'm not really a perfectionist as far as timing and little mistakes. Like, I really don't enjoy focusing on that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really better for me to do all the writing, all the, you know, real creative part, and then to focus more on the technical aspects of the real recording.
Cool, cool. What's this album or EP going to be about?
So it's a full album.
Mm-hmm.
And it is going to be about, it's going to be called Collecting Silver. And collecting silver is a metaphor that I kind of made up about getting gray hair. Collecting silver,
yeah,
you know.
I feel you.
I'm collecting little bits of wisdom in my hair.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of about that. It's kind of about just the experience of turning 30 and aging, you know. I'm not aging, but you know, kind of getting some life experience under my belt, reflecting on people kind of coming and going from my life, and reflecting on entering sort of the mother years of my life and things like that.
Yeah, by your third decade, there is a certain feeling of upheaval, because you can't really do what you were doing in your late 20s or even early 20s. By the time you're 30 plus, like,
absolutely
something has to happen, I guess.
I think I've just started realizing, like, my own mortality, I guess. Not to get dark, but, you know, I really, well, when I turned 27, I really was thinking about, like, Kurt Cobain and, you know, the 27 Club. Like, I can't imagine dying right now. I know nothing. I haven't had enough experience. Like, how do people die so young? It's so sad. And so I've really kind of been reflecting on just life and, you know, we don't all live forever, so...
Yeah, it sucks.
It sucks.
But I don't think you want to, right? I don't think you'd want to live forever.
Yeah, you don't want to live forever.
How many songs do you have ready so far? Like, are you two in, three in?
So there's 10 songs total. And I would say I have a pretty good draft for, I would say, 7 or 8.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm getting close to
You're
doing
productive.
The good stuff. Well, it's been a year, so... Yeah, I tried.
Oh, this has been your thing for the year?
For last year, yeah. Mm. So I came out with my EP in September 2020.
Yeah.
And pretty much right away started working on this. But yeah, it's been a year, so.
Yeah, speaking of that EP, it's called The Last Oryx. It's 5 tracks. What was that recording process like? Because we all know how 2020 was for everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't either you took advantage of the time or you didn't.
Yeah, well, I actually was done recording, and I was just waiting for the kind of final mixes to be done in 2020. So really, I was kind of just waiting for it to be done.
Wow.
So it was really hard to wait. I have a friend in Denver. His name is Klaus, and he did the mixing and mastering, but he was doing it sort of as a friend.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was a little bit on the back burner while he did his real jobs.
while the world is burning.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that feels weird, right? Well, there's something major happening, and like you're kind of waiting on, you know.
Yeah.
What do you call it? A personal project, not a selfish attempt, right? Not a selfish thing, but a personal
a
project.
A personal thing. And it did feel weird to put that out, I'll just say, you know, in September 2020. Like, there was just a lot of upheaval, like you're saying, in the world last year. And so I didn't want to wait to put it out because I had been waiting a long time.
Mm.
I worked on that EP for like 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
Because it's just a slow going process. And I had to work on kind of my own attitude and my own like self-doubt and confidence and things like that to get through it. So it felt really good to have it finally done. So I was just like, I'm going to put it out there.
Yeah, it's funny because like the first song on it is called Contagious. Yeah. So it felt timely, right? Or it feels timely.
It has a whole new meaning, you know. That's not really what it's about, but it, yeah, has a whole new meaning.
What was your intention with that song then?
So Contagious was kind of about a like an idea that gets planted in your head and then sort of like seeps into other parts of your, you know, your thought processes.
Your living.
Yeah, your living. Mm-hmm. So, you know, kind of as mentioned, I've had some, you know, self-doubt and self-confidence kind of issue. So it's sort of about that and how that kind of just seeps into all of your life.
That EP has interesting textures. I think I heard, I'm not sure, banjo or mandolin?
Yes, there's a banjo, some banjo.
Tambourines, bass, and cello.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds cool. It's like a nice little swirl of things. Like the cello player, like how did you meet these people, or how did you put this little team together?
Yeah, so my fiance Austin, he plays the banjo and he plays bass, so he did some of that and helped me with that. And then Zoe, the cello player, I met when I first moved to El Paso. I worked at Tippy T's, little tea shop.
Cool, on Mesa.
On Mesa, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I met some kind of cool people through there. Cool, and cool. So she worked there with me for a time. And so I learned that she played cello. And I just said, I'm going to write you a part. Like, let's get you on this. It's awesome because I love cello. It's a beautiful instrument.
That's cool that like you're willing to introduce all these textures, because you could really just be guitar and voice with some drums, right? Or like,
yeah, that's kind of a little bit of a, you know, something I've thought about, because when I play live it's just me and guitar.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a real interest in like arranging music.
Mm-hmm.
So I get a real kick out of, you know, doing all the parts and acting like I have a band and, you know, have like 50 people playing but it's all me. Ha ha ha.
Laying tracks.
Yeah.
It needs more layers.
Always, yeah.
Are you a music major?
I'm not, no.
Oh, okay.
Mm-mm, yeah, I just kind of, you know, self-taught for the most part.
You kind of just go for it.
Yeah, it's pretty intuitive for me. I you know, I know a little bit of theory. I took piano lessons. My grandmother is a pianist, so
cool.
She kind of taught me, you know, as a young person. But for the most part, it's all like feelings.
Cool. Just feeling it out.
Yeah,
like rock and roll but softer. Just doing you're doing rock and roll things but softer.
Folk and roll.
On that EP, which song was a breeze to record?
Probably none of them,
because yeah, each song is 3 minutes plus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Probably I think Ode to Oryx was the first one that I had finished and was done with. I had a real feeling of like what I wanted that song to be like, and I did want to capture that kind of mystical feeling that you get in the White Sands. So it's kind of about being in the White Sands and
cool.
The Oryx who live there. So that one was done. And the other ones took several kind of tries to get them where I wanted to.
Which one gave the most trouble?
Probably Dreams. Mm-hmm. I did the little percussion part on that. So there's like quite a bit of little auxiliary percussions that I had a lot of trouble with the timing and the keeping them like with the click track.
Oh, man.
So I had to kind of go back and like,
it's not right.
And then the stupid guitar was off. So then, you know, I had to arrange them, and I hate doing that. So
like if you can write, arrange it on the like the timeline. Quote,
exactly.
Unquote, but like sometimes it just,
but if
it
you're,
won't match or sync.
If the other stuff is off, like your guitar, then you, so.
Yeah, it could be
lesson
a mess.
Learned.
Which one off that EP are you most proud of, or which one do you hope people gravitate towards?
I love Cradle of Mankind. You know, because we did the cello part, and that was a new thing for me. I had never,
Yeah, that
written
one sounds very
part.
Artful.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I had never, you know, done anything like that with any strings. So I was really proud of how that came out, and it just really captured, like, I just wanted it to be really epic, and especially the ending, I was like, okay, let's do like a Game of Thrones, like I want this epic
Led Zeppelin
saga
type.
Yeah, exactly. I really wanted to have that feel, and I think it did, and I'm pretty proud of how that came out.
Yeah, it's really cool. That album cover is interesting. It's a young lady in a boat with
a Oryx mask,
horn headpiece or a mask. It's cool. It looks really like ethereal and weird.
Thank you. Yeah, I didn't design it, but my fiance Austin, he's an artist, so he's actually a resident. So he's, you know, part doctor, part artist, but he's very talented, and he designed that album cover and kind of wanted like there to be a lot of interest, like to be able to look at a lot of little things and have a lot of details and be able to really study it and see.
There's little
things.
Creatures in the back too, like like there's a lot going on here.
In the water, there's a little like a skeleton with a gold watch coming out of the water. And one of the lyrics in Cradle of Mankind was, "At least I kept my hard gold watch." So he kind of took like little things from my lyrics and incorporated them into the album art.
The lyrics in that EP definitely have a getting back to nature feel. Like we discussed, Oryx is a type of animal, antelope. And you mentioned why you used that animal.
Yeah.
Because
of the white sands. Yeah. So it's actually, what inspired me to write that song was a trip to the white sands. And I learned about the Oryx who live there. So they were actually kind of like brought in from Africa to increase like hunting opportunities in the area. And I just thought that was like, doesn't make any sense. It's really strange because I'm not someone who hunts or anything, but they ended up kind of having a detrimental effect on the ecosystem. So I thought that was just like a strange and sad story. And so that's what inspired me to kind of write that song.
According to your Bandcamp, there's a large gap between your releases. The current one was from 2020. And the last one before that was 2013. Was there a reason for that gap?
Yeah, just like, I don't know, life, you know, like for a while I wasn't quite sure, you know, in 2012 and 2013, those were like when I was in college. And then I kind of went through like a pretty bad breakup, and then I went and kind of just like didn't really play music for a little while and was kind of working on my EP, kind of not, and just was kind of not sure where my life as a musician was going. So I, you know, just worked on it kind of off and on for a long time until I really decided that I wanted to finish it. It kind of wasn't going to get finished for a while, I think. And I was like, you know what? I just need to finish this. It's stressing me out. Like,
yeah. What made you finally end that?
Yeah.
Drought.
That weird period. Yeah. I don't know. I think I just always felt it calling me, and in a way, like I kind of was avoiding it, and then it was kind of stressing me out because I was avoiding it, and I realized it wasn't going to go away, and I just needed to get back into it. And so once I did, I felt a lot better, and I was getting inspired, and I was like, okay, I can do this. You know, it's almost done. I just got to power through. I just, you know, I really do love it. It's something that makes me happy, and it just, I don't know, I didn't think about it that way kind of for a while.
There, I mean, also, there's nothing wrong with doing things at your own pace, right?
Yeah.
Because it feels like a lot of time when you do art, it feels like you got to deliver certain things in a certain time frame, but like, sometimes you just don't want to fucking do it, right?
Yeah,
like,
exactly. I'm just like, I just can't do it today, you know? Yeah, so I'm kind of taking that and applying that to my album that I'm working on now. And just, yeah, I've come a long way. I've grown a lot, and I've just realized, like, you know, I'll get it done when I get it done. But I want to not be not working on it because, like, I feel bad or because, you know.
Yeah,
because
it calls to you, right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And I know I'm happier when I'm working on music. So it's kind of like I just had to get to a point where I was comfortable with myself as an artist.
We were talking about this. I don't know if we already mentioned this. I saw you open for Javier Martinez's Tale of Giants show at the Moonlight Adobe Hall.
Yes.
That was a great performance. How often do you perform, and when's the next show?
So I don't have any shows coming up right now, which is kind of, you know, nice. Get through the holidays, just get to relax and stuff. I just kind of perform when it happens, you know, whenever I get invited. And I don't know, I'd say usually it's around once a month or every other month or so. And playing at the Nature House has been great. And they invite me to play, you know, every so often. And yeah, I don't know, just every so often someone will hit me up and say if I want to play a show. And I always, you know, say yeah.
So you're not messaging venues and stuff?
Dude, like, that's the thing I'm so bad at. I'm like, I don't like to hustle. And I really, you know, could do more of that. But just, yeah, historically, I haven't had to do a whole lot of that, which is nice.
Yeah, because there's always a business side to a lot of art, to all art, right? There's going to be a business side. And like some people are sharks and some people are not sharks. What's the plan for the new year?
I think, yeah, just finishing this album. I'm really hoping to have it done next year. So I just got to kind of buckle down and start doing some, you know, hardcore recording and put the album out. And hopefully I'm going to try to promote it a little bit more. And cool. Yeah, just keep kind of doing what I'm doing, playing shows and stuff.
Where can people find your music?
So it's streaming everywhere on Spotify and Apple Music and all that under Amphibian. And you can also find it on my Bandcamp for download and
to buy.
I have CDs, you know. I know it's like old school, but
I always say Bandcamp's the easiest way to support a musician. Really easy, even if you're just buying the one song or if you're laying down $5 for a whole album, whatever, man.
Yeah,
Bandcamp.
Yeah, I try to buy something from Bandcamp like at least like once a month or something, you know, just to kind of help other artists. Like, you know, you're not making a lot of money on Spotify and it's hard, you know, with streaming.
And that's what confuses me sometimes about musicians is they like to share the Spotify link, but it's like, bro, like share your Bandcamp so I could pay you. Yeah. So I could pay you, you know?
Yeah, it's hard because everybody uses Spotify and that's the thing these days. And so you just want to make it easy for people, you know, to hear your music. But at the same time, it's just definitely not the best for the artists, for sure.
Are you on YouTube?
Yeah. So I have my songs up on YouTube from the album and I have a couple of live performances. You can just look up Amphibian or Gina Massaro. Cool. And there's a couple videos up there.
Social media,
I'm on Instagram and Facebook at Amphibian Dance, and I don't post a lot, but you know, I always post about shows and, you know, little videos from shows and things like that.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
I will say, so I'm from Denver originally, and I just want to like kind of shout out to the El Paso music community. Like, they have been just really supportive of me, and I've kind of like historically been kind of a shy, you know, person. Like I'm saying, I don't have the hustle and stuff. And people have just given me so many opportunities here, and it's just, it's a small community, but it's a very supportive one. And I'm just really grateful for all the experiences I've had here in El Paso.
Bunch of nice people.
It's a whole bunch of nice people. That's right? What it is.
That's
what
it boils down to.
Oh my God. Everyone is so nice. And they like want to share, you know, the wealth. They're not just trying to like get opportunities for themselves and leave other people out. You know, it just seems it's very, you know, community oriented and supportive.
So new album next year that's called what?
Collecting Silver.
The one that you put out in 2020 is called
The Last Oryx.
And people could find it
on Bandcamp, everywhere. Spotify,
awesome,
Apple Music, and all that.
Cool. Well, thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It was great.
It's the spirit chasing me. But I'll be run down by the weight of the sun. hiding and hiding of the metal piping, a house just full of these side girls who used to be women born on silken sheets. What used to be linen.
Outside the city.